Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
The Northern Ireland Secretary Chris Heaton-Harris has invited the five largest parties in Northern Ireland to hold more roundtable talks this week to try to restore the Northern Ireland Assembly. Now, the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar is also expected to make his first visit to the North since once again becoming Taoiseach. Northern Ireland has been without a devolved government since last May's election when the DUP refused to re-enter the power-sharing institutions. It insists it will not return to government until its concerns over the post-Brexit Northern Ireland Protocol are addressed. Well, I'm joined on the line now by Professor Deirdre Heenan, who's Professor of Social Policy at Ulster University. Professor Heenan, thank you for joining us and good morning.
Good morning.
So here we are again, roundtable, multi-party talks, but how likely are we to see a resolution?
Well, here we are again. It is important to say that on this day, 3 years ago, New Decade, New Approach was signed. And we all remember those politicians standing out on a snowy day, promising a new start for devolution in the North. And yet here we are again, almost a year without a government and really no sign of anything changing in the near future. Yes, as you have said, Chris Heaton-Harris has convened round table talks on Wednesday, but to what end? I mean, most people would view that it's simply window dressing because the dispute is not between the parties. The dispute is going on between the EU and the UK, and Northern Ireland parties are not privy to those conversations. So I don't know what on earth the point of it is. The last time he said he was going to invite them all along for tea and scones. But absolutely nothing has changed. The DUP will not resile from their position, have shown no signs of resiling from their position.
There is a slight shift, though, isn't there? Because last week, the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar saying that mistakes were made on all sides in the handling of Brexit. And that was seen as a chink of light when it comes to negotiations between the EU and the UK, wasn't it?
Well, it was. And I think his comments acknowledging mistakes on all sides were viewed largely as an olive branch, perhaps an opportunity for the DUP to step down a little bit, a ladder for them to step down from the position that they find themselves in. But by contrast, the rhetoric from the DUP has not changed one iota. There's no acceptance of any blame, any miscalculations, any responsibility for the position that we are in, and any sign of reciprocal diplomacy in response to what Varadkar has said. So it is a bit despondent. We have been told since around September that the mood music between the EU and the UK has changed. And I think there's no doubt that the EU view Sunak as someone that they could perhaps do business with in a way that they wouldn't have viewed his predecessors. But mood music is all well and good. But actually, what has changed? There are talks today between Cleverly and EU officials, and there is a hope that there will be a technical breakthrough in those talks around the data and the data sharing between the EU and the UK with regards to goods in Northern Ireland. And I think that would be important because any sign of a breakthrough is a nod that things can change, that we're not kind of caught up in these positions where there is no prospect of moving forward.
So you're saying that the response from the DUP, or lack of one, to any sort of movement we have seen from the other side doesn't give you hope?
It doesn't give me hope because we know from the past in Northern Ireland, in terms of negotiation, well, in negotiation, you have to go into a room and say, look, there has to be give and take. I'm prepared to have some movement. I mightn't get everything I want, but I can come out and sell these changes to my electorate. What we are hearing is no movement, absolutely no movement. And that really means that we are going to end up in a situation where the EU and the UK will come to an agreement, I believe. I believe Sunak's instinct is to negotiate and find an agreement. And then it's up to Geoffrey Donaldson to say, can I sell this agreement to my electorate, to my supporters? And if the answer is no, and if he believes the answer is no, then we are really looking at devolution going into cold storage for a considerable length of time, I think.
What does that mean, devolution going into cold storage? Does that mean direct rule?
Well, I think the difficulty we find ourselves in here is, once again, we are in no man's land. We don't have devolution and we don't have direct rule. We have a system of indirect rule. And of course, that suits the politicians in many ways, particularly suits the British government, because let's face it, with spiralling inflation, with the cost of living crisis, with the NHS in crisis, the very last thing they want to do is be responsible for Northern Ireland again. And this kind of indirect direct rule means that they can say that the civil servants are in charge. It keeps us at arm's length. But the reality, because we know we've been here before, is we are stuck. Nothing can change. We can't address. We are currently dealing with an unprecedented crisis in health and social care. And of course, that crisis is happening in the Republic of Ireland. It's happening in other regions of the UK. But the difference is there can be interventions. We can see leadership from NHS leaders and politicians to say, how do we mitigate against this? We are left with nothing. No response.
Yes, and I see John Compton, who is the former chief of the Health and Social Care Board, was on the BBC yesterday saying exactly that, that the political stalemate has created a long-term deficit of services because there is no political leadership.
There is no political leadership. And in the past 6 years of devolution, we've actually had a government for around 2 years. So you think of the strategy that we need, the changes that we need, actually major transformation in terms of health and social care. Our civil servants cannot do that. They don't have the political cover. What they are doing is keeping the place ticking over. And I fear it will be a catastrophe, that we will have a catastrophe and then people will be pushed into action around health and social care. And that is a disaster for people living here whose trust and confidence in the system has been eroded on a daily basis.
Deirdre, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Professor Deirdre Heenan there from Ulster University. Now, the news has just come in that Mayo footballer Lee Keegan has announced his retirement from inter-county football. We'll be talking to Colm Keyes about that and other GAA matters after this.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.